Welcome, everybody, to the DBN Long Table. I'm your host, Gin and Tonic. Today is November 10th, so this is, week 11 of the NFL season, week 10, week 11 of the NFL season, and Browns will be playing Atlanta this week. Just finished up with Kansas City, but we didn't get to do a show last week, so I kind of wanted to do a little bit of a state of the Browns today. So we will have our guests join us shortly, but just a little intro. We'll talk about a little bit about the Kansas City game. We'll talk a little bit about the upcoming game against Atlanta, but it's more about the Hugh Jackson situation, the Todd Haley situation, the Greg Williams situation, where we are right now, what we think might happen, where we stand with John Dorsey and Jimmy Haslam. More of a State of the Browns kind of show today. No real format, but we're just going to go with it from there. And we'll be right back after a quick little break, and we will have our weekly guest joining us, and looking forward to seeing you on the other side. So we'll be right back. So welcome back after that little break. I am here to welcome aboard my guest for the week, our good buddy who's joining us from Budapest. Fourth, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
You know, anytime, man. So I guess really, you know, since we didn't really get to talk last couple of weeks, I guess the one thing, obviously the big news is that we are currently in the market for a head coach, or potentially not, depending on what happens with Greg Williams. But what are your initial thoughts on the Hugh Jackson firing and the Todd Haley firing?
Oh, thank God. Finally.
Yeah. I mean, I know that you would like to see them drag Amos Jones with them, but at the same point, I know you're probably really glad to be moving on from Jackson. Sorry to interrupt, but
it's okay. I mean, we still need to fire Amos Jones, and we probably will, hopefully. But I'm just really happy, and we cut the heads off of two snakes. One of whom has been in our organization for way, way too long. I mean, out of all the coaches to get almost 3 years, it just happened. It just had to have been Hugh. I mean, this is the Browns' curse. I mean, you could have given all the other coaches that we have had since Haslam became our owner 3 years, and it would have been way maybe not Shermer. I have to be careful there, but
yeah, you should be careful there.
But even Patin, Chad, or I don't know, that's probably it, I guess. But
Patton too.
Yeah. I mean, you could have given him. I mean, just imagine Dorsey with Patton. I mean, that's a different thing.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not saying we're good, but we're. I mean, we had our best season since the Haslams became the owners with Patton.
Yeah.
And probably his worst decision was hiring his buddy,
Jim O'Neill,
to be our defensive coordinator. But other than that, I think he was a good coach.
He was okay.
Perhaps I'm in a minority there, but anyway, Hugh the Snake is gone. Haley apparently came here to get Hugh's job and was undermining him and was a bad coordinator, so I'm glad he is gone. And the change was immediate on offense.
Yeah.
And it was great. We haven't seen this type of offense since Shanahan left. In terms of effectiveness,
I'm gonna go ahead and agree with most of that. There's a few things I will say that I was part of that as soon as we hired Haley thing, that he was, you know, the future interim head coach of the Browns, because we all knew that at some point this year Hugh Jackson was probably going to get fired, and that there was a really good chance that, you know, the Browns wouldn't make Greg Williams the interim head coach just because, you know, of his whole bounty gate. And I don't really think Greg was ever going to be a head coach in the NFL again. I think he was happy being a coordinator. Obviously didn't play out that way. There was, you know, this internal discord can only be relayed so that we know that the two guys were so bitter and so vindictive to, towards one another that they allowed this to happen. Like that, you and I mean, Haley obviously was probably just a bad guy in the sense that he wanted that huge job and he didn't care what it took to get it. He was absolutely undermining him. It started in week one when Josh Gordon got the start that he wasn't supposed to get. You know, and we saw it, you know, basically, you know, probably ineffective play calling, stuff that Todd Haley never really did when he was in Pittsburgh and Kansas City. And now, you know, we all thought, well, it's probably Hugh Jackson has his hand on the offense. And maybe all along it wasn't. It was Todd Haley just saying, I am going to put this team in a position to get the coach fired and get myself made interim head coach. We'll stop on a dime, turn it around, and be effective. And everyone will know it was Hugh Jackson's fault and not mine.
I honestly don't agree with the cover coordinator part because I think what we saw was Haley. I mean, I don't think he's that good. He is not a good coordinator.
Yeah. I mean,
But what we had was two politicians who were playing coach or the other way around. In any case, I'm glad they are gone. But you know what? You know what's weird, you know, in a positive way? Ever since they've been gone, Greg just seems so calm and content and happy somehow in the pressers. It's kind of weird. The change isn't that big, but still, he's somehow as if he was a different person. He's just, and I really love that he encouraged Baker to just go out and do his thing.
Yeah.
Don't worry about anything. I don't know if you remember, there's a clip about Bill Parcells and one of his coaches, and they are talking about Sims. And Parcells says, man, I just wish this Sims would get out there and get hot. You know, just throw the ball. Don't worry about mistakes.
Yeah.
And is that the game, your team.
Is that the game that Sims set the record for, like, highest completion percentage in a game? Or
No, I think that was the Super Bowl against the
I think Sims has a Broncos. couple records. I think he had highest completion percentage in an actual NFL game one time, like with over 25 attempts or something like that. I'm sure it's changed since then, but I remember at one point he had the record.
I think their Super Bowl in 86 against the Broncos, where he had, I don't know, like three incompletions and two of those were drops or something ridiculous like that.
And a throwaway or something like that, yeah. I mean, Sims was a good quarterback, and you're right. I agree. I like the fact that Greg is just telling him, go out and do your thing. Because you know what? I will say there's a lot more than just a couple of positives that come from all these changes. I liked that the guys spoke up. I like that Miles said that we don't really care what's going on outside now because we're worried about internally. You can tell that the players were tired of the bullshit. You really can. I mean, it's written over all their faces. Now, don't get me wrong. There were things this week that I saw that I didn't like. Obviously, I thought the effort was minimal. By some guys, I didn't see the will to tackle. Now, granted, we played a Kansas City team that's just really, really good, really good offensively. They have guys like Kareem Hunt who are tough to tackle. You know what I mean? I get that, but I didn't see an effort that I really liked on defense. They are probably the best offense in the NFL. So, I mean, I guess maybe you take it with a grain of salt. I will say that I think what we saw for the first time in a long time is some unity around the players. The players love Baker Mayfield. He was put in a spot where he was basically the middle of the power struggle between Haley and Jackson. And rather than have one of those guys be the winner, I think that we – decided that they're both going to be losers and the winner is going to be Baker Mayfield, because he's going to come out of this and be the leader, because he didn't pick a side. He didn't have to pick a side. He's going to be his own guy, and he's not going to be Haley's guy. He's not going to be Hugh Jackson's guy. He's going to be just his guy. He's going to be himself, and the players are going to gravitate towards him. And I think it's really, it's starting to show. I mean, the players love him, you know, it's
absolutely. And we have read some really cool things about him. And, you know, I wish I was half the leader that he is. I mean, he's just a natural at it.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I think Kitchens is sort of the, perfect guy in terms of personality to let that come out, because he is sort of a background guy.
Yeah, he's funny though. I gotta say, I've enjoyed his press conferences.
Yeah, he seems like an awesome dude.
Yeah,
and he's all for the team, not an ego guy.
Yeah,
like the two that we let go. So, I don't know if you want to move the discussion to the head coach search, but
I mean, we could stay on this for a little bit. I mean, I guess because what I want to say is we're talking about Baker. I mean, you know, there was a really good article this week. Somebody linked it in the chow that, by the way, this is the Dogs by Nature. I had to get that in. Somebody linked it in the chow this week that they're, you know, like, about Baker being a leader, and it talked about his high school, some of his high school stuff. Now, they had just the team had just played a huge playoff game, and you know, and won on a Friday night, and you know, they get back to town late, and Saturday morning the band was going off to celebrate, or going out. You know, there was a pep rally for the band, who was invited to like the state championships for the bands or whatever. And you know, most guys would, you know, like, well, I'm a football player, I don't have to go support the band. They're there to support us. Well, Baker Mayfield was there leading the cheers at like 7 o'clock in the morning after a big playoff game the night before, because he felt like, well, these guys, you know, these guys fought for me and they cheered for me. The least I could do is be there for them. Just goes to show you what kind of guy he is. And I think, you know, he was put in a very unenviable position at the beginning of the year, and I think he's finally out of it. It's clear that Dorsey wants him to succeed, doesn't care about, you know, had no issue firing, you know, the offensive coordinator that he brought in, regardless of what Jackson said in interviews after he got fired. Dorsey, you know, Haley was brought here by Jackson, by Dorsey. No questions about it. So, I mean, I guess, you know, we can keep talking about, you know, Baker. We could talk about you. I will say there's one thing I did want to talk about before we start talking about the future head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and that's this apology tour that's been going on. Have you watched any of the interviews? Have you read any of the interviews? I know we talked a little bit about it off air and you know, and some chats and stuff. But what do you think of you going on First Take? What do you think of his interviews with Mary Kay? What are your takeaways from that?
Yeah, as I said, he is kind of a politician type of person, and that's probably the lowest type of person that one can be without committing a crime.
They're above lawyers, politicians. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's disgusting. You know, snippets have reached me, but I honestly don't care.
Yeah,
you suck at your job, own up to it and move on. And yeah, that's the opposite of what Hugh is doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike Silver, who has his privates in his mouth, just keeps, you know, retconning history to make you look you can make him look good, but not as bad as he was. You want to make the worst coach in history.
Yeah, they want to make it look like Silver's trying to make it look like it really all these decisions weren't his. That Sashi wanted to do that you know, that was Sashi's fault. And listen, I've been a huge Sashi critic, and I still am. I still think that, you know, for the first time in a long time, we actually have competence in the front office. I think that Sashi did a nice job with the teardown, but I finally think we have a guy there, especially the combination of DePodesta and, you know, as like our chief strategist and John Dorsey there as our you know, basically our GM, our guy who's going to put the players on the field. I feel like we have some serious front office guys that can build a team that's going to succeed and can be successful for a long time. So when it comes to the next step, about the coaching search, I finally feel like we have one of those two positions filled with a guy that's going to, put us in a really good position for a long time. But almost the more important position at this point is the head coach. And we are going to be in the market for head coach this year. I will say that firing you, being the first team to move on from their coach this year, was probably a good thing in the sense that there are going to be teams. I would think that Dallas will be looking for a head coach. I'm positive that the Jets will be looking for a head coach. Maybe the Redskins. There's going to be teams that are looking for head coaches all over the league. And to get that little bit of a head start, although I think that there's probably a good chance that we have a few guys in mind already. Not that we could reach out to many of them, especially the NFL guys yet.
Not officially, but things are happening.
I'm sure that we have a list of guys right now where these are the guys that are acceptable to hire. These are the guys that we'd like to interview. And I guess, if I'm starting the interview process, the name on everyone's list isn't going to be an NFL guy. Ironically, it's going to be Lincoln Riley. I think that he's probably number one on, I would say, a lot of NFL teams' radars. I would think he'd probably be number one on the radar down in Dallas. I think he'd be number one on the radar up with us in Cleveland. I think there's a good chance he'd be very high on the list in with the Jets. So what are your thoughts, Lincoln Riley, Cleveland Browns head coach?
Well, I'm not as big of a fan as most people are, and I can't really put it down to like a logical reason. It's just a gut feeling that I have that he wouldn't work as well in the NFL as in college. I mean, I really like what he's doing over there, Oklahoma. We watched their game against TCU with Easy this year, and he did a great job against probably the best defense in the Big 12. I'm not as well-versed in terms of the college.
Yeah, that's the
conference Big 12, right? So I know this Rufio's favorite defensive coach, Greg Patterson, the TCU coach.
Yep.
And I think he's a great guy, and he's certainly on my like top five list, but he's not who I would target first. I would target, and I keep forgetting his name because I'm terrible with names, but the Chiefs offensive coordinator. And I know that he isn't calling plays, but any guy who has been with Andy Reid for years, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Eric Bieniemy. He was an NFL player for a long time. He was a running back. I think he played with San Diego for quite a while. I agree. Anybody who's been with Andy Reid for a while is probably a good coach, and it has a good foundation because we've seen the Andy Reid tree be pretty proactive and productive in the NFL. We still haven't seen Andy Reid win a Super Bowl, but we've seen, him be very successful, and we've seen his coaches go elsewhere and be very successful. Obviously this, Bieniemy is basically replacing Matt Nagy, who's, done it. Nudge, whatever. I'm going to say it how we say it over here. Matt Nagy, who has done a very good job with Chicago, even though I think he's incredibly limited when it comes to the quarterback position. You'd have to say that Chicago looks like a they're headed in the right direction. They're building in the right direction. Even though for the most part, I am not confident in their quarterback play in the long run. that, you know, they have themselves a pretty good head coach. What do you, you know, Bieniemy is a guy that I'm sure he's going to be high on the list.
He would be my number one guy.
He's your number one guy right now?
Their special teams.
Dave Taub.
Dave Taub.
Yeah.
He was with the Bears before the Chiefs, I think.
Yeah. He's a favorite of our good buddy Bernie Kosar's God.
He's the one who convinced me about him. And he would be my second guy. And I've been watching the Cyclones, Iowa State. For some time, not because of their coach, but because how they've been playing, and they have been how should I say, they've been better than they should be. I felt, and I guess that's attributable to Matt Campbell. I remember, I think it was last year or perhaps the year before that, where they had like they were down to their third quarterback, and they went on that, I don't know, 8-game winning streak or something. I should have looked this up before I started saying stupid things, but anyway, I felt that they were impressive. It's these teams in the college ranks, where parity is an unknown commodity, these are always impressive when a team that isn't a powerhouse in terms of recruiting can get something out of nothing.
Sure.
That's always impressive.
No, I agree. I totally agree. If you see a coach that, if you see a team that you know is probably significantly less talented or is in a conference where they're less talented than most of the teams that they're going to play, and they go in and they have a successful season, you know, it's something that it does say something about, you know, the team as a whole and the coach as a whole. You know, I can agree with that. I guess one of the names that people bring up a lot here, and it's a guy that I really like, but I don't know if he would A, come back here, or B, be super successful as a head coach. John DeFilippo. What are your thoughts of Flip coming back to Cleveland as the actual head coach?
I think that would work out. I remember him as a player first, you know. He was actually what a lot of coaches spout off but don't do in practice, is, you know, adapt to the players and be innovative. And I heard that Flip was the guy who sent Jamarcus Russell the empty CD or DVD with supposedly the plays or the defense, and when he came back from the weekend or whatever, he said that he watched them, you know, watch the empty shit.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Yeah. A guy who pulls something like this, I can get behind.
So yeah.
He's not a favorite of mine, but I would love him. I mean, Arians is probably not gonna come back.
Yeah.
Plus, honestly, I mean, I know that he is an awesome coach, and the Cleveland job is, according to him, his dream job. But when he retired and he gave his speech, I remember him. It just stuck with me when he said that I'm paraphrasing again, but he said something about his kids, that his wife turned to him and said, you know, I don't know his kid's name, but Jeff or whatever is 40, and you haven't been there because, you know, the coaching job is like 24/7. You're at work. So, and I felt that he felt that hurt him. And that's why I and he isn't the healthiest and youngest guy. So
sure.
As much as I would love it, I don't think he is going to come back. Plus, we need a young guy.
I'm in the boat with you on the sense of a young guy. I think that's important. I will say the other thing is I just don't see, like, these guys that go to the booth, you know, they go from working 12 months out of the year, probably, you know, even on their slow weeks, they're working 50, 60 hours a week, you know, during the season it's like 80 hours a week, 85 hours a week, you know, it's a super stressful job. I just can't see a guy who's probably working maybe 4 months out of the year now, 5 months out of the year, is going to give that up, you know, when he's still probably making pretty good money, has significantly less stress, the quality of life is so much better. He's not a young man anymore. His health is an issue. I mean I love Arians. I wish we would have hired him at one point. But at the same point, like, I don't think it's a good fit for him. You know, I mean, at this point, you know, I think that it's probably not a great fit for him. And as much as I would love to have him on, you know, on as the head coach, or at one point I would have loved to have him as the head coach. I just don't think that it's probably the best move for him. And it's probably not the best move for us, considering that, you know, we're looking to add a head coach on that's going to be with this team for 8, 9, 10 years. You know, we're not looking for a guy who's going to be here for a handful of years, 2 or 3, maybe, because he's looking to, you know, this is probably just, you know, making his last little run. You know, I don't think that that's really a good fit.
I would agree with that. I mean, we have seen some comebacks from that, from the
sure. I mean, you booth. Got Dick Vermeil, but I mean, you know, just it's, you know,
more,
I
more
think
of the exception to the rule.
Yeah, most of them don't really work out so well. But at the same point, I think that get a young guy, you know, who the team can grow up around and can grow with the team. I think that's kind of what, you know, considering how young we are, I think that's what I'm looking for more than anything at this point. And I think
due to the age, the overall age of the team, I think we would be more receptive of a young coach, and perhaps of a young coach from college, because I think that can be a difficult transition, especially if you've never coached in the pros. And I'm not sure Matt Campbell or Lincoln Riley ever coached with the pros. I don't think so.
No. So I will say this. Let's take a little break, and we'll come back and we can start talking a little bit about the Falcons and a little bit about what we expect and hope for the rest of the season. And we'll be right back. And welcome back, Dogs by Nature, the Long Table. It's GNT and Forth. So, you know, we left off just about getting ready to start talking about the Atlanta game this week. Going into Atlanta, you know, they're a 500 team. You know, they're looking to get back in the playoffs. You know, we're still scrambling away at 2-6-1. I will say that the Falcons have a solid offense. They've even with the, you know, loss of their starting running back, they still, you know, they've managed to throw the ball really well. They have very good wide receivers. You know, they have an excellent offensive line. Their offensive line's only given up 22 sacks all season. Now that I pulled that up, they've only given up 22 sacks all season. So around 2 a game. Maybe 2 or 3 a game. They're in that ballpark. They're you know, they have a very good offense. They have a very good quarterback. Matt Ryan's been around for a long time, played in Super Bowl, been a Pro Bowler pretty much his entire career. Very efficient, very effective, very accurate. You know, Julio Jones doesn't really need to be discussed. The guy is all world. They've, you know, Mohamed Sanu is another guy that they've had for a while now. Has been a very, very, very good player for them for a long time, or been a very good NFL player for a long time, been a very good player for them for the last few years. And they drafted Calvin Ridley, who I was not super high on going into the draft, and he's having an excellent rookie season. I will say that he is scoring touchdowns left and right, and I think that may be attributed to the fact that Julio draws so much attention that it's you know, it's definitely helping him. But at the same point, he's had a very good year. The Atlanta offense is pretty good. Their defense is what it is. They don't really get after the pass rusher that they don't really get after the passer that much. They can be scored on. They can be run on. They can be thrown on. There are ways to beat this team. This could be a potentially a shootout kind of game in Cleveland. Any first thoughts forth on what you might expect this week?
Trouble, because as you said, they have a good passing game with good receivers, and what we have is an injured secondary defense.
Yeah.
We are going to get Schobert back, it seems. We are going to get probably Randall and Ward back. So things aren't looking as bad as against the Chiefs, which is like ridiculous. We had six or so of our starters from our defense injured against the best offense in football. That's just another instance of Browns luck.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can be better in terms of health this week. And if we can stop them a few times, or perhaps a bit more than a few times, then our offense hopefully can build on last week's performance and improve on last week's performance. And if both of these things happen, then and we can get to the quarterback, hopefully, then we can win this game, especially at home, and especially if we wear those beautiful Color Rush jerseys that should be our main jersey.
I would like to say that I think that one of the keys in this game is going to be a guy that we've both been really high on all season, and that's Nick Chubb. I think that if we get the ball in his hands, we run the ball well, that it's going to set up things offensively in the passing game. I really like what I saw out of Duke last week. I think that, you know, if it took firing Haley and you to get Duke Johnson involved in the offense, it should have happened in week one, because it's been really ridiculous that he hasn't been involved. I will say that I am still surprised that we haven't seen much out of DeValve or Njoku, you know, last week. But I think that, you know, getting those two guys in the field to play more than, you know, getting them the ball a little bit more than what we've seen over the course of the first 9 or 10 weeks of the season, that we should, you know, that's something that should happen. But maybe, you know, little by little, Duke's getting more involved. We'll start to see, you know, how getting Higgins back was huge. So having Higgins, maybe Callaway doesn't have to be out there every snap. If we had Higgins and Callaway and Landry and then the two tight ends, and having Duke involved and running the ball with Chubb, the offense, you know, hey, let Baker do his thing. This is one of those games. I don't know exactly what the spread is. I'll look it up while I'm talking. But I think this is one of those games that, you know, we can go ahead and win.
Yeah, I mean, going to the bye week with a win would be awesome.
And yeah,
if we would win this game, I think all of our wins would come in games when we wore
those Color Rush jerseys. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it would be.
And that, if we are wearing the Color Rush jerseys, I think we are gonna. But anyway, if that happens, then I want this team to wear the Color Rush jersey every single game. I don't care about the punishment.
Pay the fines, Jimmy Haslam.
Pay the fines,
Jimmy Haslam.
Jimmy Haslam. Yeah.
All right. So the spread is actually 6, and the under over is 50.5. So the Falcons are actually that number's moved up quite a bit, so there's been a little bit more action on the Falcons the last couple weeks. I guess a lot of teams, we didn't play well against Kansas City, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but I think we saw a lot of positives there. I don't really think Atlanta is that great of a team, to tell you the truth. I know people are still pretty high on them. In the Super Bowl 2 years ago, they were in the playoffs last year. But at the same point, I don't really think they're that good.
I would say it's not that the Falcons are that good. It's that we are that bad.
Well, I mean,
that's it. We are 2-6-1.
I felt, like you said, last week we left with some positives. I felt pretty good about last week.
Yeah, but at the same time, you are what you are.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I will say I do think that, again, running the ball is going to be the key, establishing the run. I think, what can you say between Mayfield and Chubb? And then obviously throw Denzel Ward in there. We've added some really good players in the first couple picks in this draft, and you can't help but feel confident that moving forward that we're going to continue to add good players.
Even just league average drafting in terms of who, how many of our players bust and how many work out, that would be awesome for us
moving forward. But I think this year we did, especially towards the top of the board. I think we did.
That's what matters. First pick, that's what matters. The second one was awesome that we took Ward, but Dorsey or any general manager for that matter, nobody's gonna bet 1,000. So the key is what's been wrecking the Browns for years and years is,
and it's just batting zero, basically.
Betting zero. We came up way with some players, but what we should be more consistent at, and hopefully that's going to be the case with Dorsey going forward, is betting better
towards the top of the draft.
Yes. The first 2 days are key.
Yeah.
And there are going to be mistakes. There are going to be busts, but
your first 2 days need to be difference makers. They cannot be busts all the time. And the balance of your day, the balance of your picks need to be guys that fill your roster out and help you win games. But you really need to start building at, we're totally off the rails here, but you can't be help but be happy with what we've seen from those guys. And I think that, you're going to need them to perform in order to win games. I think this is going to be a nice game for Baker. I think he can go out and actually throw the ball around. I think now that he's got Higgins back, second week working with Freddie, I think Freddie's, he says that the offense is going to be what it was, but it clearly wasn't the same offense as it was 2 weeks ago. I think we saw Baker get up to the line and make some changes. I think we were a little bit more effective because we tried to do some things that we haven't done in the,
My God, play action.
Yeah,
it's as if it wasn't in those 600-page playbooks.
Yeah.
God damn it. And the first game, first play was play action. I was so happy.
The fact that we've been running the ball as effectively as, that especially since Chubb has been in there, that we've been running the ball that effectively that, you wouldn't try it. It's mind boggling. Now, to me, that play action was a hallmark of that offense you saw in Pittsburgh for years. They had Le'Veon Bell, they had Antonio Brown, they had Martavis Bryant. They would throw the ball. Oh, and then the tight ends, whether it be Heath Miller or Jesse James or Vance McDonald, they would play action and throw the ball down the field, to the seams, the tight ends in the seams or play action and then hit Brown, on a Y or, there was always something, they always had something going on with play action and it probably a half a dozen times a game they would do it. And we didn't do it all year. How many play action passes did you remember us throwing this year? Now it should be something that should be a staple of our offense because that's what good teams do. If you can run the ball, you should be play action all the time because it opens up your offense so much more.
Imagine Trubisky in an offense without play action.
Yeah.
He's done.
Well, if you couldn't throw checkdowns or to your running backs or play action, he wouldn't have a job in the NFL.
They are doing a great job of helping him look good.
Yeah.
And we had two idiots who were doing anything but to make anyone on this team look good.
Just trying to make themselves look good.
Tyler Taylor, man. He was playing for his contract next year and they didn't do himself.
any favors. No, any
favors. But the coaching staff didn't help him either.
No, you're right.
And but anyway, this is a winnable game. I am going to predict a loss as always.
Yeah.
Out of that's kind of my superstition. But I'm kind of optimistic, despite my trademark pessimism.
Pessimism, yeah. I don't. I'm not going to predict a score or an outcome today. You know, this year for me has all been about winning a few games, seeing progression specifically with Baker Mayfield, seeing some of that front four and that defense gel a little bit. It sucks to lose Kirksey because honestly, he's one of my favorite guys on the team. Forget about just as a player. I mean, there's a guy that I just absolutely you want to root for. I loved watching him. On Hard Knocks, he's just a cool guy. Hate to see him get hurt. Hate to see him be out for the rest of the year. But at the same point, you know, like maybe it gives somebody else a chance to step up.
Yeah, the kid that Dorsey brought in,
Valo.
Yeah. That's we're gonna have to look it up because he was
Tanner Valo.
He was Valo sort Joe. Of okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
I would say he was sort of okay because he made some mistakes, but when he arrived somewhere, he arrived, as Lombardi said, in a hurry and in an angry manner.
Yeah,
and well, that's what a linebacker should be.
Yeah, I guess.
And I would rather see a guy being like that and making mistakes than seeing Collins
just not care.
Like that lukewarm, if that attitude, that's just get that off the field.
Yeah,
get the guy off the field. I mean, that's one of the things that I want to see this week. And because I know he is capable of playing like Carlos Dansby did for us.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a better player than Dansby talent wise. I just think that he just doesn't care.
I mean,
let's be honest. Bill Belichick doesn't trade away guys that are really, really good unless he absolutely has to. You know, I mean, like he traded Garoppolo because he had no choice, right? But you think he would give away, you know, a guy like Jamie Collins for nothing? I mean, we gave him basically a fourth round pick, you know, for
well, you know, I mean. They were killing us because, you know, there's this mystique. And we can talk about this now, but I feel like I would talk too long. But this sort of Belichick mystique is a large part of why that team works. Because people just assume that he's right every time.
He's right more than he's wrong. So it's just, you're playing the odds.
He is still just a human being
Sure. Who
makes a lot of mistakes as the rest of the NFL. But, you know, people, Belichick did this. I mean, Belichick let this player go. He must suck. Or he must be over the hill or whatever. I mean, that's not how today's NFL works.
Sure. No, you're right. I get that. And I just, you know, I mean, I guess they decided that, they wanted to.
Plus, if that's how that the NFL worked, and if that's how Belichick or the Patriots worked, nobody would give anything for a Patriots player when they give it up.
You're right.
Give him up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
why would you trade with New England if New England wins every time.
No, you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think that there's something to Jamie Collins. There's something to him. You know, obviously
he's like Haynesworth. He's like Haynesworth.
I don't know if he's that bad, but I think he is
worthless. That's what he is.
I mean, here's the thing: is we've seen him play really well at times. That's true. The amount of effort,
especially in the game where he got injured. I think it was Detroit. Last year. I remember he got an interception and he got injured there or after that, and he played great. But you know, Haynesworth played great too. not on the Redskins, but or the Patriots for the
what I tend to say.
Yeah, but you know, shit attitude is something that a team like the Browns cannot afford, especially not from the guy who's supposed to be the quarterback on offense after Kirk left.
Yeah, or defense
the injury.
But it's like Jarvis says, it's contagious, man. It's just contagious.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially at that position. So I'm glad that we got Show.
Well, I'm glad we got Show back. I'm sad about Kirko, but I would like to see Kirko and Show moving forward. Those guys they're both really good guys. They both play really hard. They're both good leaders. You know, you pair that off with Miles, with Larry, you know, with Denzel Jenner Ward.
And Denzel Ward, Randall. Yeah,
with Randall.
You know what should happen, I think? I think it would be great if I know it won't happen, but if Greg gave up play calling, I think it would benefit the defense.
Well, I don't know if you're going to see that happen.
That's, as Kitchen said, you can give the same playbook to different coaches and they would call a different game. And
sure.
That's true for the defense, and we really need some freshness on the defensive play calling side, because it's... He is outcoached every game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. Although,
I mean, I won't fault him for the Kansas City game, because he lost more than half of his starters and, as we said, played against the best offense in the game. But at the same time, this team... I mean, of course, that's not about play calling, but this team can tackle, and that's one of the basics. That's your job.
That is the basic. That is the basic.
Yeah, that's your job description. Yeah. Tackle, and that's something that we are bad at.
Yeah, and I agree.
And it annoys the piss out of me. I mean, if we all expected Kansas City to beat us, but you know, not this way.
Yeah. No, you're right.
In the sense that, you know, I mean, it was just too easy for them.
I mean, again, like I said, they're a really good team. We're not a good team. We're still a young team that's learning.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but it shouldn't, you know, but when you are what was it, 3rd and 20, it shouldn't take a screen pass or whatever to hunt to beat 3rd and 20.
No, you're right. I mean, that's something we've been terrible at for a long time. I will say, you know, if I'm not going to look at this game, this week as a negative. I'm actually, you know, I'm more than ecstatic that we moved on from both you and Haley. I'm happy that, you know, the other thing that we really haven't mentioned is that apparently John Dorsey is going to be leading the coaching search. Which is for the first time, you know, hopefully Haslam gets his grimy hands off this coaching search. I don't care if they bring in a, you know, a Corn Ferry or whatever they do when they, you know, to do, you know, help do a statistical analysis or help with the search. But at the same point, if Dorsey's leading the search, I am confident that he is going to bring in a good coach that is going to do what, you know, build work around the team that he's trying to build, as opposed to, you know, playing politics or even worse, you know, saying, well, no, this is the way that I'm coaching and I don't care what players are here. They're going to adapt to me and I'm not adapting to them. So I'm happy about that. We saw some good things this week, you know, this past week. I think there's things to build off of right now. We're happy, you know, we got some production out of the offense. It didn't look flat and stale. The defense looked terrible, but just, you know, I mean, I guess at some point, it can't always be, well, you guys did a terrible job. Maybe we did a bad job, but at the same point, you know, there's guys paid across the ball to do their job, and they're really good. So maybe that's, you know, that played a part of it this week. I think, you know, Atlanta's, you know, moving forward the rest of the season, it's all about growth. It's about growth for Baker. It's about growth for the defense. It's about what we see out of Nick Chubb. It's about, you know, hopefully no more serious injuries. And it's more of an audition, I think, at this point for next year. We want to see, obviously, we want to get a couple more wins. But to me, and I hope, I think probably for the most of everybody who's on board here and listening and following, it's about, you know, setting us up to the other thing is really wanting to be an attractive job for a coach. I heard Daniel Jeremiah get out there after the day after he was fired and say that this is the most attractive that this job has been ever since the Browns have been back in the NFL. And I totally agree. I mean, I don't think it's any question. You have a quarterback, you have an elite pass rusher, you have a legitimate number one cornerback, you have a lot of really good young defensive players. So realistically, the one position that, you know, like of the three or four primary positions in the NFL is, you know, obviously left tackle, quarterback, pass rusher, and coverage man. You know, we're set at three of those really well. I mean, we clearly have Miles, who is on his way to becoming a Pro Bowler year in and year out. You know, we have Denzel Ward, who all signs point to number one lockdown style type of corner, and then obviously Baker, you know, everybody loves a kid. So there's three of your four right there. Hopefully we can add a left tackle in the draft or maybe in free agency and solidify that even more. But like right now, this is a very, very,
attractive
job. And I think that, you know, a couple of wins and playing really well and seeing some growth out of these guys, maybe, you know, says it takes a guy who is, you know, kind of teetering, oh, it's Cleveland and I got to really want to work for Haslam, and say, well, I mean, they've got some players there and there's some talent there, and that's a great fan base. And if you could be the guy to turn that around, you know, you're going to be remembered, you know, that's going to go down. And maybe, you know, maybe it makes a guy that is thinking twice about it come this way.
Yeah, I mean, a Super Bowl here, it's a statue.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. A statue, and you know, you couldn't do better. So, I mean, I guess that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot riding on these next few games. Even if, like I said, the wins may not be super important, I do want to see a few wins, but I really think that it's more about putting our best foot forward, seeing development out of guys, and making sure that the potential candidates out there know that this is a group of players that is going to go out and be effective. And if we can get some real leadership, you know, at the head coaching position, that it's going to be successful moving forward. So, I'm pretty much good for today. I don't know if you have anything you want to add or anything you want to wrap up with.
Well, to our listeners, if you, reverse this podcast, and if you want to drink yourself to death, drink every time Chris says, you know.
Yeah.
You're gonna be dead in 10 minutes.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate you pointing out my flaws. I will try and work on that. But that's it. I am a flawed person. There's no way around it. It's okay. Thanks for joining us this week. Go Browns, and as always, fuck Pittsburgh.
Fuck Pittsburgh, indeed.
Hey, I'm Anil Dash, and I'm the host of a new show called Function from the Vox Media Podcast Network and Glitch. This season, we're talking with experts about why our voting machines are so bad and how that might hurt our elections. We'll also talk with an animator to find out how popular dances from the real world end up in video games. And we're going to tackle the biggest question in tech: why do so many celebrities use screenshots from that Apple Notes app to make their public apologies when they screw up? You can find new episodes of Function every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks to Microsoft Azure for sponsoring Function.